Hello, dear viewers. I'm saying requiescat in pace to Penelope Keith. So Dame Penelope Keith has been summoned to her reward to the great big stage in the sky at the age of 86. So she was a British actress who was celebrated for her role in The Good Life, which was looking at Southwest London, middle-class, middle-aged people in the 1970s, to the manner born and so on. So she specialised in playing, I suppose, battle axes in rather haughty, upper-middle-class women. Maybe it helped her that she was very tall. Was she sort of 5'10" or something like that? She hadn't acted for some years. She was in a Blithe Spirit. She was in the Importance of Being of Earnest. She returned to the theatre for those. She'd been in the Royal Shakespeare Company in her youth, so she's a classically trained actress. She got BAFTA awards in the British Film and Television Association for light entertainment. She used to appear with Morecambe and Wise. If you don't know who they were, Morecambe and Wise were huge in the 1970s, this comedy duo who met as teenagers in the Second World War and were just household names. Their Christmas show was very, very much awaited, and millions of people, probably the majority of the British population, used to watch them in the 70s. They both died in the early 1980s, but she had bit parts, used to perform with them. So she was a huge star in the 1970s, was well known, you know, into the noughties as well. I think the junior generation won't know who she was. She was awarded the Olivier Award for Best Comedy Performance, as in named in honor of Sir Laurence Olivier. And Sir Laurence Olivier, the actor, was still alive when that came out. She was in Executive Stress, No Job for a Lady, Next of Kin, and so on. So maybe she's a bit too typecast as like someone conceited, aggressive, I suppose we'd now say a Karen, posh and all the rest of it. So yeah, Penelope Keith was born in Sutton. That's an area of London. And that's roughly where The Good Life was set in the 1970s. Her dad is an army officer in the old days when they were all pucker. So he's promoted major during the war because, of course, people got killed and there were more vacancies for fast promotion. The army expanded. Anyway, her mum was a housewife, and then she lived in Clacton-on-Sea in Essex, which is where we used to go on holidays within the United Kingdom. And this, when overseas travel was very expensive, always in the Second World War, people were going to be travelling overseas. Maybe weather was warmer in the summer, obviously colder in the winter. And there was the end of the Pierce show. Remember, BBC television, you just started in 1936. The signal was only receivable within London. It was mega expensive. A lot of people couldn't even afford radios. So going to live entertainment was more of a thing in her childhood. Later, they moved to Clapham, which is to London, also south of the river. Anyway, her family on her mother's side, they'd been involved in making coaches, you know, and later, you know, cars and so on. And they sold them even to the royal family. So she went to a Catholic boarding school, despite being actually Anglican. And it's there she got into acting, was going to shows in the West End of London. If you don't know London, that's where the theatre is. And then I can't remember whether her parents divorced, her father died, but her her mum married a second time, and Penelope Keith's stepfather had the surname Keith. Penelope Keith's maiden name was originally Hatfield, like the Hertfordshire town. I don't know anyone else with the surname Hatfield. Penelope Hatfield, would that sound better than Penelope Keith? Penelope's always quite a long name, and she never went by Penny. And then anyway, so she went to the Webber Douglas Academy of Dramatic Art, which wasn't very good. She'd been rejected by the Central School of Speech and Drama on the discriminatory grounds that she was too lofty at 5'10". You probably wouldn't be allowed to reject people on that basis as well. She used to waitress to support herself. So it's very rare for people to have, tertiary education in those days. And that Webber Douglas Academy of Dramatic Art doesn't even exist in those days. Because remember, there's a terrible financial precarity to being in the performing arts. Are you going to get a part in a show or not? And if you won't, you get paid minimum wage. And people, because they're pursuing a dream, they're willing to work for very low salaries. And it's very uncertain. Have to supplement with other income, with waitressing, with bar work, whatever. Even being a cleaner, people who are willing to be flexible about the hours. I mean, I knew some two dancer from West End show told me how it is. And I think it wasn't different in the 1950s when she's first getting into it. And she's part of repertory theatre. I'm not sure tradition even exists anymore. So a group of them, they have various plays in their repertoire and they go around the country performing them. So she went all around the United Kingdom doing those. And then before she got into the Royal Shakespeare Company, obviously doing serious performances. They didn't actually just do Shakespeare. She played in the Aldwych Theatre, which is downtown London, as well as, of course, in Stratford-upon-Avon, the home of Shakespeare and the Royal Shakespeare Company. So she was in a lot of TV shows, Dixon of Dock Green, which is a police show in the 1950s, The Avengers and so on, which was part of the, I suppose, the singing, swinging 60s, some women who were allowed to have a bit of sex appeal in it, and things like that. Okay, and then she got into films, none of which are particularly well known. There was Carry On Doctor, the Carry On series of comedies from the 50s to the 90s, which are the slapstick, these Ealing comedies, really. They're all called Carry On, Carry On Up at the Khyber, Carry On Columbus, and so forth, with a lot of, you know, smutty humour. And her role was so minor, it was actually cut from the film entirely. Okay, so then she got to know Felicity Kendall as a sort of friend and somewhat rival in these shows. Felicity Kendall was seen to have the looks and wasn't too tall, whereas Penelope Keith always came across as a little bit scary. And The Good Life was really what made her name, going from the 1975 to 1978. And she, I suppose, prefigured Thatcherism when she's saying that, you know, she was a silent majority, to borrow a phrase from Richard Nixon. She was standing up for herself. This is a time when the United Kingdom was almost paralyzed by strikes, trade union militancy, erupting terrorism. The UK was suffering stagnation, high inflation, high unemployment. When was it going to get out of all this? But in some ways, life in the middle class has become a lot better. Cars were very affordable. Televisions, radios, fridges, all that stuff was very affordable. Foreign holidays were a bit less affordable. Property was very affordable. I mean, if you had university education, then getting a white-collar job, a well-paid job, was very easy. But anyway, so it's about two middle-class married couples somewhere in southwest London, maybe impliedly Wimbledon or one of those. And later on, she played the female lead in To the Manor Born, okay, about this rather posh woman and things like that. Okay, she was in a little bit of Agatha Christie stuff, and she was in a number of plays in the West End all the time. So that was her. So she married a police officer, quite unusual. And she met him while she was on duty. That wouldn't be allowed these days. They didn't have children. I'm not sure why, but they did adopt two boys who happened to be brothers. So that was her. And she was into gardening, a trustee of Brooklyn's Museum for the Cars. I suppose that's because her family were into cars. She just died of cancer. And she lived in Surrey, close to where she was born. And that is Penelope Keith. And I suppose not many people have a bad word to say about her. She used to appear in a lot of documentaries about what it was to be in Morecambe and Wise. Morecambe and Wise were their stage names. I can't remember their real names. One of them used to go on holidays in Morecambe Bay and took that. I can't remember what their Christian names were. And that was huge, that Morecambe and Wise. That was Christmas. And they had their signature tune, Let There Be Sunshine, Let There Be Rain. They even got the then Prime Minister, Harold Wilson, to do a cameo in it. All right. Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, PayPal, GeorgeCallan7 on gmail.com. Goodbye.